Well, what kind of religion do you have? How is it that your faith is expressed? In Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 and in verse 42, it says, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." The early Christians had a daily religion. It seems like today that we basically have a lot of people who have a once a week or once a month, or on days like today, it's a once a year type of religion. Even in the Old Testament, if you actually look at the Old Testament, the worshipers there sacrificed on a daily basis. And even with this daily reminder, they still strayed from God. And some Christians believe they can be more faithful remembering God once a week, or once a month, or once a year, and somehow still remain faithful. But we need to learn lessons from the past. In Romans chapter 15, Romans 15 and in verse 4, "For whatever was written in the earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." The giving of ourselves, as we mentioned again this morning, in our idea of sacrifice, the giving of ourselves is our reasonable service. Again, if we look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual," or some translations say your reasonable, "service of worship." So what do you do each day? How do you have a daily religion? Well, we need to pray daily. And again in Romans 12, this time down in verse 12, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to praying." Some translations say steadfast or instant in prayer. Always willing and able to pray. David took note in Psalm 55 that the wicked are always on the move. In Psalm 55 and verse 9, "Confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I've seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go round upon her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not part from her streets." There's always problems in the world. Anywhere you look, there are wicked people behaving badly. And David counters this with prayer. Look at verse 16 of that same passage. Psalm 55, verse 16. "As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice." I will bring my problems to God. I will do this all the time. Why? Because the wicked are involved in evil all the time. Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17, he said, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The idea of pray without ceasing is not 24 hours, 7 days a week, just constant prayer. He's saying don't give up on prayer. Always be willing to pray. Take time to do it constantly, frequently. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 18, he said, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Pray all kinds of prayers at all kinds of times for all types of situations. That's a part of our religion. And it should be a daily thing, not just when we assemble here as saints. We should be involved in studying God's word on a daily basis. Back in Proverbs chapter 8, in Proverbs chapter 8, in starting at verse 33, Solomon says, "Heed instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against the injuries injures himself, and all those who hate me love death." Wisdom says, if you want to find me, look for me daily. You can't learn enough just with an infrequent look and glance at God's word. It needs to be a daily part of our life. In fact, when the Jews came up to Jesus demanding whether he was the Christ, in John chapter 5, and in verse 39, Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think in them that you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." You search the scriptures, look there. See the evidence. Know who Jesus really is. And the Bereans did this with Paul's statements. Paul came teaching that the Christ had come, and they wanted to know whether what he was teaching was actually accurate or not. And it says in verse 11, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." They constantly checked in their scriptures. It is wonderful when you're up here teaching and hear the Bibles rustling as people are looking. That's one of the things I miss when everybody goes off to cell phones. You don't hear the cell phones rustling. But it's great to hear that people are checking what is being taught, making sure that this is being accurately handled. We need to make that a daily part of our lives. And Paul told Timothy, the young preacher, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." That idea of diligent is to be in a rush. Not in the rush so much you'd be careless, but eager to get accomplished. We need to be eager at and put diligence in searching God's word, studying it. Now think about how much time we devote to secular learning. You know, as a child grows up, you know, can a child grow up with only, you know, 104 hours of book learning per year? It just won't give them much in the way of education. Can we grow up as Christians and only look at our Bibles every once in a while? An hour a week is just not enough. It needs to be studying needs to be a daily part of our life. And two is that when we talk to other people, that has to be a daily part of our life. You know, when Paul was teaching the Ephesians, in Acts chapter 20, Acts 20 and verse 31, says, "Therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears." Paul was busy teaching the Ephesians constantly, day and night, he says, for 3 years. He put a lot of effort into his evangelism, his teachings. And we also see that with the early Christians in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 and look at verse 46. It says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They were getting together. They were talking with each other. They were fellowshipping with each other. It was something they did on a daily basis. When you see people in the world around you, people at work, take time to mention something about the scriptures, about Christ, about the proper attitudes that are needed. The world is going crazy around us. We're the defense. And we need to start talking daily with people that we know. And with that also, we need daily encouragement. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And in verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We all need encouragement. We need to be here as fellow Christians to encourage one another each time we meet. But it has to be more than just the times we meet here. We need to be available to encourage one another on a daily basis. In fact, in Hebrews 3, one of the warnings about falling away is mentioned in Hebrews 3 and verse 13. It says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We're dealing with sin on a daily basis. We need encouragement on a daily basis as well. And again, we can see this in Paul's life in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. And you are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we have behaved towards you believers. Just as you know now, we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Paul made sure that he was encouraging brethren constantly, day and night. Now, all of us have needs, and those needs don't come just every once in a while, like once a week or once a month. We need to be available to serve one another, again, on a daily basis. You know, the early church, because of the situation which it found itself in, had a lot of needy widows, because all the people had come for the feast of the Passover and stayed because they became Christians. And so in Acts chapter 1, or 6 and verse 1, Acts 6 and verse 1, it says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. They were taking care of the ones who were in need on a daily basis. And we are encouraged to remember the poor. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6 and in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 10. It says, they only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was also eager to do. We have to keep in mind that there are those who are less fortunate than we are ourselves. We need to put memory of that as often as needed. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Pure religion undefiled religion is to take care of, visit the orphans and the widows, to see to their needs. It's not talking about just, you know, going over for a cup of tea. It's talking about seeing that they're taken care of. And we have to understand, if we can't do that for our fellow man whom we see, how do we expect God to take care of us? In 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And as I mentioned, the verse that we had this morning in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There are things that we have to do that are oftentimes not pleasant. They're burdens. But we need to be willing to do that on a daily basis. In fact, those burdens are there to shape us, to mold us, to improve us. In fact, Jesus, it said, was perfected, made complete through his sufferings. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 2, glancing down my notes and reversing everything today. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. And we have to suffer along with Christ. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 11, it is a trustworthy statement. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We have to suffer. We have to die with Christ. We have to endure with Christ. Life is not always going to be easy. But we have to deal with that on a daily basis. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, he says that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. We deal with the problems, we deal with the persecutions, we deal with the evil in the world on a daily basis, so that the world might see Christ through us. In fact, Jesus said, unless we're willing to suffer, unless we're willing to bear that cross, we're not worthy of Christ. In Matthew 10 this time, Matthew 10 and verse 38, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And when we put in daily effort at being a Christian, we get daily results as well. If you look at the early church in Acts chapter 16, Acts 16 and verse 5, and so the churches were being strengthened in faith and were increasing in number daily. The churches grew. They were established. They were growing. Yes, they were brand new back then. It happened more frequently. But it still was a result of their daily efforts. Again in Acts chapter 2, this time verse 47. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, sometimes we think that today we're different. But sometimes we need to look at ourselves and say, are we serving the way they did? Are we giving God our all? We talked about being poured out this morning. If we're not, then how can we know if it doesn't work the same way today? We ought to put in, as a religion, a daily effort to serve God. And I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here tonight who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brother on your behalf. We have an opportunity. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, Selected.